All right, we are here. And welcome. It's indeed a pleasure for us to be with you today. Lots of energies culminating, moving and flowing. Ready for a lot of adventuring, exploring, expanding. And we get the opportunity to play with you, to work with your energies. Even if, let's say, you listen to this recording after this workshop has been given live, you listen to it again, we'll play with you then too. It's so much fun to be in your presence and to see all your lights and feel your energies. And of course also to enjoy the beautiful crystals in this place. Some crystals who can speak to you and share with you their secrets. All right, we're going to be discussing secrets today. And all of you know how to hold on to secrets. All of you have secrets. Even to the extent that you've been on your spiritual journey, there are some secrets you still keep from yourself. Now, secrets are hidden and unrevealed pieces of information, stashed away. Sometimes they're stashed in your subconscious and unconscious. And sometimes they're stashed in your body. But nevertheless, they can be positive things, positive secrets. They can be dark secrets. They can be things that are filled with truth about you and who you are. And they can also be secrets that are lies about you and what you are really not, but what you might suppose yourself to be. Secrets are things that very often you just don't want anyone else to see. But the most important and the most difficult secrets to deal with are those that you don't want yourself to see. You don't want yourself to know. You don't want to reveal to yourself for one reason or another. When you came into this existence, you knew who you were. You chose and selected physical plane embodiment out of pleasure and out of excitement, out of enthusiasm, out of adventure. Yes, I want to go there. Yes, I want to participate. Yes, I want to learn to create. Yes, I'm going to bring my gifts, my light, to a planet that's crying in need for it. A planet ready, with its peoples upon the planet, ready for transformation, ready to lift now. Prepared, primed, set. In a planet with cultures who are playing with destruction and creation. Cultures who are aiming towards destruction of the planet, at the same time the healing of the planet moving. Who's going to get there first? The healing or the destruction? The game of the consensus. Now most people in the consensus buy into a concept, buy into the energies of what we call a dark matrix. A dark matrix has to do with limitation, has to do with the denial of the light within each person. It is based on the idea that one is separate from the divine, and by virtue of that separation from the divine, you feel that somehow physical embodiment must therefore be inferior. It must be a lowly thing, a non-spiritual thing, something that takes you away from spirituality, away from the divine. And therefore to be human is to be pretty much the antithesis of the divine. That just by virtue of being physical, you have already accepted that you are weak, insignificant, unworthy, plagued with difficulty and pain, and even perhaps being punished in one way or another, concepts of karma notwithstanding, that somehow or another you must suffer in order to redeem yourself or expiate some sins done in other lifetimes or other arenas. This is part of the dark matrix. It makes a big foundation energetically for three-dimensional reality, because a matrix, this particular matrix, a three-dimensional matrix. It has height and width and depth. It is a proverbial box that everyone is wanting to step out of or think out of. The consensus, the mainstream reality thinking. Now, it's been present on the planet for a long time. So much so that this thinking and this feeling and these opinions and these attitudes and all these orientations, philosophical beliefs, etc., got entrenched into the genetics of your ancestors, passed down through genetics, so that it was almost instinctual to come into this life and feel unworthy, almost instinctual to come here and feel small, weak, and insignificant. And indeed, it's very easy to feel that way, because when you are an infant or a child, you are weak. It, in a sense, validates what the consensus reality holds in the dark matrix. You enter into this dark matrix voluntarily as a light being with the intention that you're going to free yourself out of it. You're going to blaze a new trail. You're going to break free. You're going to experience a great breaking out of the box. Unlike in the past, where perhaps it was a rare individual who could do that, who became the master teachers, the great leaders, the bringers of paths and methods to see God and to connect with God. This time, it is going to be a mass movement. You have come with lots of your friends. Yes, some of them you've made here on the planet. Others you will never know. Part of a link of light. A link of light surrounding this planet, imbued in within yourself, connecting through the planet, a network of light beings. That when this light is activated, can bring in, can in a sense install on the planet, the energies of the light matrix, of a new way of being. Excitedly, you chose to come to experience this. Phenomenal experience that it is. And in so doing, you chose and you were willing and you accepted that in order to do it, you had to forget who you were. You had to release your memories of your light so that you could step into the darkness and you could work from there. You could find the way. You could recall the path through the energies, through the development of yourself. Now, when you came, you thought, okay, this is going to be a fun ride. We've said this many times. Much to your chagrin, you found that getting into the dark matrix was not an easy or pleasant experience. So you came into this life and found your memories gradually being erased. When you first came in, you still remembered. You still had friends that you talked to, friends of light who were not physical. You had a lot of wonderful experiences with them. But gradually you began to realize that you had to pay attention to be here. That your choice was to be here, to be present and aware in your physical body. You were also aware that somehow or another, it was not getting, you were not getting supported for all this non-physical activity and communication you were doing. You had to pay attention. You had to turn your attention away from that to get to basic things like survival. And as you did that, some of you did it within 6 months of your birth, some of you did it within 2 years. A very few of you could remember longer. And on the planet now, there are some young people who can remember a little bit more, because the times, they are a-changing. And part of it is due to you. A great deal of it due to you and your spiritual development. However, when you first came in and you had to forget, this went into what we would call in your unconscious mind a box of memories. You know how sometimes when you move, you know, there's the picture albums of your past. There's your wedding and there's the birth of your child, or there's your childhood or where, whatever it is. And they're in albums now. You could take an album out and go, oh, and revisit the past. Oh, look, remember when we were there. In a sense, you took your albums, memories from other lifetimes on other planets, times on other dimensions, times in the oneness, in the flow, and you put them for safekeeping in a box, so to speak. You hid them away in your unconscious mind so that they would not be available to you. You knew that at some point, as you were doing that, that you would get back to them again. But you knew you could not do it and do the work you intended to do. And this essentially began your box of secrets. The first secrets in this box, of course, are your memories and who you really are, the light being that you are, your purpose, your mission, all those kinds of things are stashed in your box. And as you got here and began to work here and began to learn how to adapt and function here, and the necessity of letting go of those other awarenesses so that you could be more attentive here and learn to survive and deal with what you needed to here, you gradually forgot about this box. You lost your memory of this box. And you had to step into the dark matrix, which believed that you are inherently flawed in some way. You're inherently weak or somehow inadequate, perhaps even undeserving. Almost a sense of having to redeem yourself right up front. Some of you got it really heavy, more than others. Some of you could kind of ignore it and not feel the heaviness descend upon you. And you could be the light of your family. You could charm everybody, play with everybody, and smile and sparkle at them, and they would coo over you and get all, you know, fussy over you and take care of you. And some of you found yourself spending a lot of time alone, wondering, what went wrong? Why am I not being loved right now? Why do I not feel totally connected right now? What's going on? It's in those moments, perhaps when you woke up in the morning and found yourself alone in your crib or in your bed, that you wondered, why am I alone? Why do I feel separate? This is not fun. I don't enjoy this, and I'm hungry to boot. Oh dear, I've got to get food. I've got to survive. This doesn't feel good. And the baby cries in the morning to tell the mother, come get me, come get me. But somewhere in there is also that sense of a separation, that sense of taking on the dark matrix. It's reinforcing somehow that belief that, okay, I am separate. And if something's not right, it doesn't feel good. In the dark matrix, it says it's your fault because you're not okay. And so you begin to take on the first pieces of shame. The dark matrix based on shame. As you grow, as you grew, you found that you had to have some kind of self to function with. You had to have some kind of identity to relate to. You got a name. And so someone says, well, who are you? You'd give your name and you'd probably give your age. Oh, I'm 3 years and a half. See, I'm almost 4. Your identity, very simple. And you notice that you got the love when you were most charming and pleasing. Oh, hint, hint, hint. All right. Well, that's the way you're going to redeem yourself, is you're going to be nice and pleasing. You're going to make everybody happy about you. Now, what did this require from you? This required from you a certain amount of adaptations. First of all, you had to have good behavior that was approved of. Secondly, you had to hide whatever part of you was not good. You had to avoid that part so that you, and you thought, simplistically speaking, that if you just were just charming enough, that whatever that flaw was, whatever that thing that was wrong, maybe you can compensate for it, you get enough love. You learned how to please, and you learned to create your first sense of self. This is the ego. Now, the ego is a very positive function, at least it was originally. What the ego did is to take what you really thought and believed and knew and expected and all the feelings and thoughts and everything that was around it, all the context, all the little pieces, and go and bring you realities that are congruent and in alignment with those pieces. When your life was simple, obviously, you needed food, and you anticipated that you were going to be fed, and food appeared, and by golly, it worked. The ego functioned. But at some point, you began to realize that there was a big liability in being responsible for something negative, that if you did something wrong, or if you were not pleasing, you would get punished, or there would be conflict. And some of you didn't even get that, but there was conflict in your household. And you picked up that conflict, it's because you were very psychic, and you said, oh my gosh, what did I do wrong? What am I creating wrong here? I'm bringing something to me, and this is the context, and so this doesn't feel good. This is my problem, this is my fault. If I had just been perfect child, or maybe if I'd never been born, maybe the parents, the guardians, the people in the household would have been happier. When something came up and you realize that you did something, oops, that wasn't okay. Oh no, he said such and such and she started it, and let's put the attention somewhere else. Please not on me. I'm the charming one, right? Right? I'm the one that is perfect. I'm the one you'll love, right? So you learned how to lie. And as soon as you learned how to lie, you learned how to split yourself. You learned how to create facade. This was the creation of what we would call the toxic or negative ego. You split. You became dishonest. You pretended. You made a pretense that this is the person you are. Oh, not that one, the one that spilled the stuff on the floor. Of course, you didn't realize it was blatantly obvious who did the spilling on the floor. But nevertheless, the building and creation of a facade. Now, the facade was intended to create the image of perfection. The image that you were the lovable, valuable, worthy being. Let's make up a facade. Because if we promote that, if we project that, maybe we can fool everybody into believing that's who we are. While underneath you're afraid, oh my gosh, I might actually not be that one. I might actually be some kind of horrible person. I might actually be some flawed, weak, inadequate person. Unlovable, perhaps unforgivable. Just the fact of my birth, just being here, that might be just too much of a sin, too much of a flaw. Maybe I'll never be able to compensate. But if I can pretend good enough, maybe I can manipulate some love out of people. So there was a split between the self that you projected and hoped everybody else would see, the image that you put out there. Here's who I am. Here's the wonderful, wonderful, beautiful, fabulous, smart, talented being that I am. But underneath it all, hiding behind the facade, is this one that worries, who am I? Am I really that? Can I really be this self that I project? Or is there something really bad about me? I need to keep hidden back here. I can't let anyone see. You weren't quite sure, but you see, you came onto a planet where there was several billion people believing that. You were living in a matrix in which was reinforced continuously, day in and day out, by millions and billions of people. All split themselves, all holding facades, all feeling within themselves some kind of lackfulness, some kind of undeservingness. Now, to hold that facade and to promote that facade and also simultaneously to hold the image of that potentially inadequate self is what is called a cognitive dissonance. All right, you have this positive facade, you have this weak, ignorant, and inadequate or flawed being that you might potentially be. And some part of you said, but you know, I really am something good, but I'm not in connection with it, because you had left stuff in the box and forgotten it. And so the conflict between figuring out who am I really, one of the first great philosophic questions of mankind, right? Who am I? Do I exist? You know, all those kinds of philosophical things. That comes out of this conflict. But when you have what is known as a cognitive dissonance, when you have several possible realities of who you are happening simultaneously, the crisis is too deep, it's too stressful, you cannot hold them together. At some point, you have to either resolve the paradox, see it as a paradox, two things that can that are very different than coexist at the same time, and find out the common denominator and rise above it. But frankly, as a child, you didn't have that resource. You didn't see people resolving paradoxes around you. You saw people who were committing themselves one way or another. They belonged to this religion or this church or this synagogue or that or this or that, and the other were not okay. It was me and the other. It was, this was good, that was bad. You got into the duality, right and wrong, good and bad, light and dark, and all the judgments on that. And you saw that you had to go one way or another, or the conflict would be too much for you. And so you said, okay, what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to take this self I'm afraid that I am, because it seems to be undermining everything. And I'm going to put it in the box. I'm going to forget it too. I'm going to leave it somewhere in my subconscious and unconscious, so I don't have to access that. That way, I will be my facade. That way, it'll resolve the conflict. I'll just focus on my facade. That's who I'm going to be. And I will forget this other me. Well, the problem was, is that in a dark matrix, you can't always forget that. But you did your best. You, one way or another, you avoided paying attention to that part of you. You avoided somehow or another, in any way, shape, or form you could do it, with any kind of strategy you could imagine, to keep anyone else from seeing that piece. You hid it away. You pretended it didn't exist. You lived in fantasy, perhaps. Or you lived in some arrogance of self-delusion that you were this perfect, phenomenal being. That why don't people recognize how important and great you are? Toxic ego really got into that one. Toxic ego got also into perhaps an image or a facade that you put out. Okay, I've got to be safe for people. I've got to serve and be helpful, generally the female approach. So I'm going to have this facade of I'm really nice and sweet and really helpful and servile and loving and nurturing and all that kind of thing. And that way I will attract the right people and the love. And guys sometimes say, well, I've got to be smart. I've got to perform well. I've got to achieve. I've got to have confidence. And that way, then I will get the love that I need. So you chose your facade and you focused your energies tremendously on really keeping those facades just so perfect. Now, if for some reason or another you slipped up and you were judged, criticized, people look at you funny. Oh my gosh. Oh no. They might discover something. What? Something bad about me. You might even have forgotten what you thought was originally bad about you, but you knew there's something in there that's not right. And they're close to seeing it. No, I cannot let them see it. So what did you do? Did you distract them? Look over there. Did you deny? Oh no, that's not me. Did you make light of it? Ha ha ha, I'm always such a stupid one. Ha 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 ha. See, I can take it lightly. See how smart I am. I have clever wit. I can say discounting things. I can make humor out of it. I don't have to be intimate with you or anybody else. Ha ha, I don't feel any pain. Or perhaps you'd say, oh yes, well, I'll try harder. Whatever was your coping mechanism, you developed as part of your facade. When attacked, here's my strategy. Perhaps you'll defend it. Perhaps you'll attack back. Well, hey, you know, you have a problem too, you know. Let's take the energy, put it right back on you. Ha ha ha. You're not perfect. How dare you insinuate that I'm not? I'm right. You're wrong. What did you do? How did you defend? How did you protect the facade? How did you keep it going? Bright, shiny, up front. What did you hide back there? How did you keep people from looking back there? How did you avoid the intimacy that could potentially bring people into contact with the less desirable part of you? that perhaps would create a situation where you would not get love or respect or admiration or caring. Perhaps you came from a position of strength. I'm so strong, I can deal with anything. You can lean on me, I'm the strong one. Or perhaps you manipulated from the weak. I'm so weak, you need to take care of me. You need to love me and take care of me, and you'll fix me and I'll feel better, and you'll feel so much better because you took care of me. What was your strategy? How did you keep it hidden? All those parts of you that you needed to keep hidden, you thought. How did you hide your shame? How good was your pretense? How good was your facade? Well, you worked on it with great diligence, especially through adolescence. Adolescence, it's all about facade. Who looks cool, aloof, unruffled? Who is the strong ones, the bright, shining ones, the leaders, the smart ones, the capable ones? Oh, I want to be one of those. I'm tough, I'm strong, me, 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 I'll do it. But you see, you paid a price. You knew you were paying a price, but you thought that if you were to be seen as something unworthy, that you would not survive. It felt serious. It was a threat to your survival. That's why you invested so much energy into it. That's why you kept everyone at arm's length. That's why you had fantasies. Some of the fantasies were about the future, when you would have all that love, when you would be successful, when you would be rich, when you would be whatever it was. And then at that point, finally, you would be totally redeemed, that you and your facade would be one, and you would be successful and happy forevermore, and it'd be happily ever after, kind of the end. But the price you paid is that you were no longer real. And then the day came that you found your spiritual path. And you stepped your foot upon your spiritual path. You felt the call of home. You felt the call of truth, the call of the light. It said, come home. Come home to who you are. Heal, lift, create better realities. Feel the love. Be able to give and receive love. And you said, yes, this is what I'm looking for. This will resolve those conflicts. Yeah, I still have some conflict in there, but this will resolve it. And some of you actually diligently went digging around to find those secrets, to pull those secrets out and look at them and go, ooh, ah, oh, ooh, I can feel my pain. I can feel my inadequacy. Oh. Some of you went through tremendous purges. Others of you said, okay, I'm not going to feel any negative emotions. I'm going to be so spiritual. I'm going to just, my facade is going to be spiritual. I'm going to talk in this certain beautiful uppity air kind of. I'm going to look so spiritual, and I'm not going to feel any of those negative emotions. That's for ignorant people and unevolved people. That's it. And so some of you actually embellished your facades. It's like the psychologist, you know. You go to some psychologists and psychiatrists who really had a lot of emotional problems, a lot of psychological problems, and in the course of finding out about how to work with that and how to study that and how to learn about that, got the great languaging of a better facade. Ha ha! Okay, now I have psychological languaging. Now I can convince everybody I'm really sane and normal and good. Ha ha! So sometimes when you go to a psychologist, they just have better languaging than anybody. Some of you got languaging up the wazoo. You know how to talk yourself out of any kind of dark place. Superior manipulation. And it was part of your spiritual path. Some of you on the spiritual path realized, oh gosh, you know, I have to recognize that, you know, people have souls and they're light beings and there's beautiful light and so on. And yes, there are some people out there that are beautiful and very deserving, and I can see that. People are beautiful and deserving. Yes, people are made of the substance of God. God is, yes, they're spiritual. People are beautiful. They're spiritual. Well, not everybody, but some people are really beautiful and very deserving of love. Am I deserving of love? Well, I'm not perfect yet, you know. I've really got to be more spiritual before I can really feel that I'm deserving of love. You might have gone that path, or you might have stayed in the path of the self-delusion. Oh, yes, this is great. I'm a God being. Why? Well, I've been wondering why people haven't recognized me. Why don't they see my greatness, huh? Why aren't people just coming up and saying, oh, please, please give me your words of wisdom? See, I've got this path. I've gotten initiated by the guru. I've read these books or I've gone to these workshops. I'm ready now. I can be the holy moly now. And so some of you actually improved your facades. But there also came a time as you matured on your spiritual path that you began to realize the facades have to go, because the facades are toxic ego. And as long as I give my power to my toxic ego, I'm going to continue to attract issues and unresolved problems in my life. I'm going to have to do something about this ego. What am I going to do about the ego? Now, some people decided to go, whatever it is, the Western interpretation of Buddhism, right? Which is, I'm going to get rid of ego. I'm going to have no ego. I'm going to just sit in the space where there are no desires, where there's no pain. I'm just going to sit here and be enlightened. No ego, see, I have no attachment to anything. For some people, that was the ultimate rejection of intimacy. Because emotion, oh, okay, let it go. Okay, there it is. All right, I'm back to serenity now. Okay, I'm going to hold my hand in these mudras all day long. I'm going to be so serene. I'm going to do my breathing and my yoga, and I'm going to be so serene. But you see, as soon as you did that, you reinforced just a different aspect or different facade of ego. Some of you got that message. Okay, well, that doesn't quite work. My life still isn't going perfectly. I still have those financial problems, or I still have that relationship issue. I still can't seem to have a happy marriage, or whatever it is. And eventually, you all came to a realization. I must resolve this internal conflict. I must resolve this dark and light side of myself. I must resolve this darkness. You know, if I'm here to be a light being, I'm going to have to resolve this dark matrix. I'm going to have to do something about this ego. I'm going to have to reevaluate who I am. I'm going to have to develop a new self that's real, that's more authentic, that's true to me. And here you are. But you see, it's not an easy journey. Because every time a criticism came your way, whether you did it yourself or somebody else did it to you, you still went into reaction. Oh, no, they're saying something bad about me. Oh, no, I'm thinking something really bad about me. How do you respond to criticism today? Do you stand back and brace yourself and, oh, you know, they're just, you know, sad, they don't understand? Do you rationalize it? Do you think, oh gosh, they made a criticism of me, it must be true, I must go in there and process it out, I must dig it out, I must release it and improve myself? Do you continue the self-delusion? Oh, why are they criticizing me? Don't they see how evolved I am? Do you continue tit for tat? Oh, no, you're the one who has fault for seeing fault in me. How do you respond to judgment? Your reality, your society is filled to the brim with judgments. In fact, that's how you are trained to make decisions. First, you judge stuff. You judge what is bad, what is good, what is dark, what is light, what is wrong, what is right. And then you choose that light thing because that judgment over here, oh, that's bad, don't go there, I'm going to choose this. But you know better than that. You know that there really isn't any extremes like that. But you still have the reactions in there. You still give it a lot of energy. You still feel you need to be loved and that you must be free of potential criticisms and blame. You must be perfect to deserve that or to create that, or you must be perfect to get your life to work. Some of you are realizing intellectually, maybe not always getting it emotionally, but realizing that this is not a journey about perfection. It's a journey about creation. You learning how to create. You learning how to create a new pathway, a new light. Bringing light in and creating a new way. A place where you can own who you are as the light being that you are, to do the work that you came to do the play that you came to do, to value yourself, to love yourself, to be real to you, to be true to you, to be who you are and be okay with that. You knew that this is the core. The core of your spiritual journey. But you still have difficulty accessing that box. Why? Because you spent so much energy denying it and forgetting it. That to go to that box now and retrieve anything can be rather difficult, can be rather frustrating. Because when you go to the box, you're going to take the top layer off. What's the top layer? Still dark stuff. Underneath it all, down deep, way, way inside, down underneath, is the light stuff. So every time you open the box and go in there, there's more dark stuff. We're never ever going to find the light stuff. Well, we want to suggest that what's going on here in the collective unconscious, which you've picked up, is a story, is a myth. It's called Pandora's Box. You've probably all heard about it in school. You see, Prometheus gave the secret of fire to humankind. Fire was, prior to that time, the province of the gods. The gods didn't like that Prometheus did this. Zeus was pretty upset about it. You gave humans too much advantage. You gave them too much power, Prometheus. You gave them too much infusion of spirit, knowledge, wisdom, passion, qualities of fire. You gave them too much. Now they're going to start creating. Now they're going to start dreaming. Like us. It's a threat to us. We don't like that. We can't lord over them, you know? You gave them too much, Prometheus. Well, humankind now has too much. And of course, yeah, humankind in that timing of this mythology, of course, was a culture that was masculine or male-dominated. So basically, it was that this fire was given to men. Men to lead. Men to become empowered. Men to create. So Zeus said, I'm going to punish mankind now. I'm going to do them in. They'll be sorry they got that fire. I'm going to offer them a gift. So Zeus had several of the gods and goddesses get together, and they created this ideal woman, the seductive, sensual, attractive woman filled with charms, filled with all sorts of seductions, tantalizing attraction. Yeah, this is what will do men in. A beautiful woman with lots of charm. She was gorgeous. She was phenomenal. When she'd appear, men would swoon over her beauty and her charms. Of course, everywhere she went, men fell down at her feet. They wanted her. They wanted her. That was exactly what Zeus had in mind, because Zeus knew. Zeus had a time bomb with her. Pandora carried this urn. It was the only task she was given, is to carry this urn. And she was told never to look into the urn. It was plugged, there was something in it. It was her job to carry the urn. Now we want to point out, the urn is the shape of the uterus. It is a womb. So she carried the secrets in her womb. She carried it with her. It just so happened that Prometheus's brother fell in love with Pandora so much, and absolutely, even against the best advice from his brother, absolutely had to marry Pandora. And so he did. And so Pandora went with Prometheus's brother, holding her urn. But as is wont in those days, that once a woman was married, then she was kind of installed in the house, and there she sat. The beautiful object. The trophy. Yeah, she was a trophy wife, you see. Every other man worshipped, adored Pandora, but she didn't belong to but one man, Prometheus's brother. Well, one day, of course, Zeus also had given her the gift of curiosity. She wondered what was in the urn. So she opened it up. And all the evils, all the negativities, all the dark beliefs and energies, potentially to create the dark matrix for mankind, poured out of the jar and went and spread around the world into the imaginations of man. So many of the old mythologies generally blamed woman for all the darkness and evil. Because what happened there was, in a sense, a wounding of the soul of humanity. It's a mythological way of representing it, the acceptance of the darkness. The womb holding the darkness, holding the mystery, holding the secrets. But of course, Pandora, seeing all the stuff coming out, oh my gosh, quickly put the lid on. And as you know in the story, there's one thing left in there that was positive. It was hope. Think about it in your life. What's the level of your hope? Do you have really true hope? Or is it embellished by fantasy? Or is it tempered and stressed by anxiety and fear of what ifs? What if this happens, or what if I have hope, but what? But. Hope, but. What about your hope? Is it true? Or is it kind of a glimmer of possibility you wish you could grab? Anyway, it stayed in the jar. The feminine guarding hope. And certainly, of course, that was an adequate punishment for mankind. But now, this is a timing of great power for both men and women. A time where the masculine and the feminine comes together as equals, as partners, to create a new matrix, a light matrix. It's part of the main reason why you're here now. I want to be part of the light matrix. I want to help create the light matrix. The light matrix, hope. Now, the mythology didn't go underneath that. Underneath hope are the light secrets. They didn't come out either. The light secrets were kept hidden from humanity. In fact, the only way you could get to the light secrets for many centuries was to be a member of a mystery school, in which over, sometimes for people, several lifetimes, but over a period of time, the indoctrination and gradually, the dismantling of the toxic ego, gradually the revelation of your powers, of your truths, of your strengths, gradually over time, when it felt you could handle it, and it wouldn't be a more toxic ego facade, you were able to be given the wisdoms and the knowledges of the divine. But even so, in the mystery schools never got to the place of acknowledging that you could function as a divine being. Never got that far. All right, so in a sense, you came here to say, okay, we're going to do what the mystery schools cannot do, and we're going to do it in compressed time. In other words, within one lifetime, and in the lifetime, within maybe a few decades or a few years. You, dear ones, have gone through the whole mystery school already in your life. That which was the secrets that were held privy to the only select few. You already know them. But you see, you haven't opened up the rest of the feminine. You haven't opened up the jar for yourself. You haven't let the rest of the light secrets out. That's what we want to do with you today. It's time for you to reveal to yourself who you are, to have access to your knowing, to your link with your divine nature, and to your truth and to your purpose. It's there. Everything about what you're doing, why you're here, etc., is there. And one of the things you came to do is to create a pathway of light for the light matrix, in which you and everyone on the planet can remember who they are. Your first enemy in this whole process, descending into the darkness, emerging into the light, creating the new trail, blazing the new path, is your ego, the toxic ego. The last enemy you're going to have on this path is your toxic ego. That's where you began the facade, and that's where you're going to end it. And you can choose to end the facade and recognize that in the past you would have said to let go of the facade is absolutely stupid. I will not survive. People will criticize me and I will wither in shame. I will tuck my tail between my legs and run away and hide and hope no one ever sees me ever again. But dear ones, you're coming to a place to where you have the capacity now to release the judgments on yourself and to not accept judgment as real, biting, painfully active from other people. If another person judges you and you are able to stay in connection with who you are, you will use that feedback in a very positive way, not to go within and say, oh, I've got to purge something else that's wrong with me, but a way to have a mirror of feedback. Okay, here's what the ego is sending me. The right place to go is to the ego, is to release another judgment off of yourself, not to add it to yourself, not to accept it from outside. Your reality is filled with judgments. They're going to come at you. But if you use them in a positive way, because you can remember or you can own and claim who you are as a light being, as a powerful reality creator, then you can laugh. You can stay light. You can stay free. You can use it to continuously free yourself, lighten yourself, blaze the trail with more elegance and beauty, and feel more love. When someone criticizes you, how long does it take before you can empathize and love them and feel what if they are experiencing, their frustration or their anger that they are revealing to you in the judgment? How long does it take you to get there? We're not saying to jump there, but that's where you will go when you are free. When you are free of the dark secret, the ultimate dark secret, that you are separate from God, that you've been abandoned by God and the divine. The ultimate dark secret, your consensus reality wants you to believe, because everyone else believes it, and all the actions and behaviors and procedures and et cetera, are based on it. All the philosophies, all the religion, all the social mores, all the social patterns, all the relationship codependencies are all based on this. You realize that if you break this and you break the dark matrix, which dark matrix is based on, you're no longer beholden to the limitations and laws of consensus reality. You are free. For some of you, that's scary and terrifying. What do you do then? How will you function? Who will you be? Some of you have ideas. You'll put them into action. But the most important thing is to realize you need to get to a place to where the judgments, which are the active force of the dark matrix that keeps reinforcing and re-justifying the dark matrix's beliefs, feelings, and so forth, that dark secret. When you get to the point where all those judgments no longer touch you, You don't reinforce the dark matrix any longer. You can laugh, you can be free. And then you can find who you are, how you operate, how you express yourself, what your truth is, and express your truth. You can step beyond the limitations of facade that your ego builds for you. You can heal your ego and restore it back to that positive ego function that it was intended to be in the first place, in which your thoughts, your beliefs, your feelings, your contexts, philosophies, orientations, opinions, etc., all that contextual stuff that you use, those details you use to create a reality, that your ego then will just gently go out and bring that to you, that which is congruent with you, and you as a light being will attract and bring through your positive ego all those things that are beautiful and light and true. Healing, joy, vibrancy, vigor, health, love, play, success, all sorts of great things. All the things that human beings have been looking for as a justification or as a redemption or as a sense of, finally, I got there, I'm worthy. And without that motivation, you can step right into it. Saying, I'm a light being and this is natural to me. This success, this love, all of this is just natural. This is part of being divine and sharing that love with everyone. You'll be safe. You'll have passion. You'll be powerful. You'll be loving. You'll speak your truth. And when you're loving and you speak your truth, there's nothing that anyone will find wrong with it, unless they're, of course, jealous and they're falling into trying to bring you down. How will you respond to jealousy? People who are envious of you, jealous of you, how will you respond? In the past, this could undermine your toxic ego or create all sorts of disturbances. How will you respond to that? How will you respond to being visible and seen? Because so many of you spent most of your life trying not to be seen. Hey, if they really see me, oh my gosh, they'll judge me. They'll see something maybe that I haven't hidden or am I not hiding it well enough? Oh my gosh, I cannot be visible. What will happen when you can be fully visible and feel safe? And free. What a benefit, yes? That sound good? It's time, dear ones. It's time in this particular powerful period, in this particular reality period, the shifts and changes going on your planet. It's time. And you've been feeling the call and you've been working more on opening up to your light self and installing within you a frame of reference of who you are as the light being that you are. Let us help you take it to another level today. All right? Let's take it to a higher level of freedom. Let's take it to a place where you can take your power back from that toxic ego who took over your facade. You can take back your power and no longer feel fear of your own ego and its sabotage of you. How's that for some good, delicious freedom, yes? All right. What we're going to do is we're going to, of course, later on today, we're going to release your urn out of your womb. You can be a man and still have, on an energetic level, your womb. It's your particular place of creation. You're going to release your light secret today. And there's not too much your ego is going to be able to do about it. What we're going to do right now is we're going to take a break. And when we come out of the break, then you and Daniel determine how long this was going to be, if this is going to be a longer one or a shorter one. We'll leave that up to you. But we'll see you shortly for some questions. And think about what would you like to discuss. Where would you like to go today? And then later on, we'll give you the steps, talk to you about how to use these techniques and strategies we're going to share with you, and then we're going to take you on a beautiful meditation and hopefully get a whole bunch of old crap just cleared out of you and some really good, beautiful, brilliant light installed in you, pumped up, ready to go out there and blaze your trails to greater and greater heights, sharing your love and light with your reality. All right, so a break forever, how long you decide to choose to do it, and we'll see you in just a few minutes. Farewell.